Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things flapping their wings on.
How do you have time to consume all this content? You're listening to Dave Spadaro interviews.
I take a morning bike ride and I listen
I want to hear more about that, but go ahead.
No, the Schuylkill Trail.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Tuesday early evening from my hotel room near Florham Park, New Jersey. This is Bo Wolf, joined by Sheila Kapadia in his hotel room in Florham Park, not in Florham Park, near Florham Park, New Jersey. And joining him, Zach Berman, also in his hotel room near Florham Park, New Jersey. The three of us in the same hotel, but in separate rooms as we record this podcast. Zach, how do you think Sheila's doing?
I think Sheila's doing well. I spent quality time with him today. I was telling Marissa before you guys got on, it was so nice spending quality time with you guys. We don't usually get to see each other in person. So we've been exchanging texts for months here, but first time we sat down and we didn't break bread, but Brooks out, if you will, an hour
of lunch.
We broke
a lot of salad, baby.
Yes.
Sheila, what's going on?
Well, we had lunch. Now we're doing a podcast that the over under would be three and a half hours.
The clock is ticking.
And then we're supposed to eat dinner? I mean, what are we? I'm not going to have anything else to say after this. I can tell you that much. But I will enjoy the meal nonetheless.
One second.
Okay. Eagles. Okay.
Yeah. So we're here because the Eagles and Jets had the first of two joint practices, and we saw what happened. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from Marissa. Marissa, what's going on?
I'm jealous that you guys are all in New Jersey and I'm not there.
New Jersey. Yeah, here we are. Okay, let's get this ball rolling. I was out to lunch the other day with my wife, and there was a guy a couple tables down who was wearing a shirt that said, "All my favorite people call me Grandpa." I don't know if you guys have seen that shirt before. And, you know, didn't think much of it. Good for that guy. He was, you know, sort of middle-aged, probably a young grandpa. And about 10 minutes later, somebody walked out of, an apartment building or a row home that was, like, right in front of the restaurant. And this guy was older, and he was wearing a shirt that said, "All my favorite people call me Dad." And I was like, what is going on? Like, do these? And I was like, is he going to walk over to the same table? But he just crossed the street. And I was like looking to see if these two guys were ever going to interact and notice each other's shirts. But they didn't. They were just two ships passing in the night. Two guys who are wearing like very similar shirts, but called by different names.
So when Sheila said, let's get this going, that's what you decided to go with?
No, Zach. No, see, that you were close. Okay. I thought you had it. What you want to do, let's do the pause again.
Okay.
All right. So my big takeaway, I thought the Eagles defensive line showed up in a big way. Now, this is partially due to the Jets offensive line not being good. But, you know, one of the early drills the early periods I was watching there on the one field. I mean, it was play after play after play of the Eagles defensive line dominating. And I don't know. You know, the Eagles defensive line has been like pretty good or very good, really, since I think all three of us have started covering the team. I'm starting to wonder if this could be like a special unit, you know, like if Josh Sweat ends up being this darling that people think he could be, you know, a 10, 11, 12 sack guy, and Javon Hargrave can be a different player, you know, more of the player we saw in the second half of last year, but even, you know, better than that. Now that he's healthy, he had some fantastic plays today too. Like, could this just be a dominant unit? Like the best in the league, one that carries the entire defense to expectations that maybe people do not have for this defense overall, or is that an overreaction?
I don't view it as an overreaction. Now, as far as placing it in historical context, I haven't necessarily viewed it that way, but I absolutely agree with
you. Not historical. Yeah.
Historical in terms of like the past decade. I'm sorry. Okay. So I haven't thought of it relative to the past 10 years, but clearly it's the strength of this team. It's the best hope for this team. And it's not just August good, right? Like there's an August good where you look good in training camp, but you never know. Is it the opposing offensive line? Is it the way practices are structured? These are legitimately good players, and they've done it now. They did it against the Patriots last week. They're doing it against the Jets today. I know the Jets offensive line is not particularly good right now, but I think this is this says a lot about like Javon Hargrave's playing the way they paid him to play. Josh Sweat is emerging. They have depth on the edge. You know, they're doing this without Ryan Kerrigan. They're doing this without Derek Barnett. So I agree. This is it is a very good unit.
Yeah.
So you guys watched the defense more than I did today. I was watching mostly the offense. Tell me what happened that was so that made you think this that turned you around, Shield, to think that this is could be potentially the best defensive line in the league.
No, see, it's not anything that turned me around. See, what you do as a veteran...
Contextualize the dominance today.
I mean, what you do as a veteran reporter, Bo, is, you know, you go to these practices and, you know you're podcasting later. So, you know, something catches your eye and you say, you know what? This would make for a good take, a good topic of discussion later. And you write it down. So that's all it was. I think, Zach, you may have some individual... plays, you know, I just have Hargrave really pushing the pocket and getting in Zach Wilson's face, and he fired incomplete there. I believe both Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham had sack fumbles. Is that, do you have that, Zach?
I had Josh Sweat having one at 11:05.
I had, Graham.
How do they have sack fumbles when you can't hit the quarterback?
Well, that's the impressive part. Exactly. Go on, Jill.
Well, I was telling Zach after it, like Graham after his was sort of ashamed. Like he didn't celebrate at all. He just walked back because I think he knew he wasn't. You know, I think he just had his hand up as he was rushing the passer and it like hit the ball out of Zach Wilson's hands. And so we know they're not supposed to do that, and there was no contact, so we didn't really celebrate. But the point is that he got some – he obviously won his one-on-one battle there. I noticed a Milton Williams blowing up a run play. You know, it was really just one period where it was like play after play after play where the Jets really could not do anything, and you saw the Eagles like really celebrating because they were just getting off the snap quicker. I have a Sweat dominating here note where Zach Wilson throws incomplete and Josh Sweat just crushed the right tackle right off of the snap. So I think that was the period that sort of shaped that that take for me a little bit. I do think you know, we've talked about Javon Hargrave and how I thought that was a bad signing and how I was crushing him in the first half of last year. I do think he's a very interesting player for this defense specifically. I have not read the piece yet, but I know Ted Wynn wrote a piece for the Athletic with Jordan Rodrigue who covers the Rams for us, talking about this idea of not one gapping and not two gapping, but playing like a gap and a half defensively. So you're not firing off the ball into your gap like you were in the Jim Schwartz scheme, but you're a little bit more responsible for a gap and a half. And so I want to read that piece because when he was with the Steelers, of course, he was doing more of the two gap stuff, and they had some looks as a traditional 3-4. And then, of course, last year was a different scheme, and the Eagles were selling it as, well, this is the scheme he's meant to play in under Jim Schwartz. He's going to be a monster in this, and that didn't happen. So I just think he's an interesting player who does have that skill set to be able to do multiple things, and maybe Jonathan Gannon is going to unlock him a little bit here.
It's like a Goldilocks situation, potentially.
Porridge?
No, just he's, right.
Yeah. Just right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All yeah. right.
Too passive in Pittsburgh, a little too aggressive last year. Maybe
right.
You know, a gap and a half is going to be just right.
Mm, that sounds like a wolf's den in 2026 when you're allowed to be back in the locker room.
So, yeah. I would say to
you just you
both
just you just ruined Zach's sleep tonight.
It better be before 2026. Although I would take, I might take the over.
Oh no!
Oh, well, for any owners listening to this podcast, let's get on that.
I'm looking at my notes here, and it's like Hargrave pressure, 97 pressure, sack, Hargrave question mark, sweat question mark. So
he has been like,
sweat
he has
question
been like
mark.
This.
It's good you have good recall. Because that could be a number of different things. You look at that at the end of the practice, and it could be the guy next to you. You know, a little drop.
There was,
fell
there,
on
believe
you.
Me, there was no question mark was about sweat? There was no question mark about the sweat at today's practice. Everybody was
could be another, you know,
dripping.
Could be saliva. Someone that's good recall.
So a quick point. He was rushing against Dan Feeney, and I believe Elijah Vera Tucker is injured, so Feeney was in there, and.
They call him Mr.
It got
Feeny,
heated at Boy Meets World reference. And
look at you, the pop boy, culture.
Yes. And Hargrave was getting
hold
the better
on,
end
pause.
Of the matchup.
Sorry, we got to do it. I mean, that was about a boy in like the Philadelphia area, you know, who loved Philadelphia sport. Like if ever there was a sitcom, it was down Z-Berm's alley. I feel like that would probably be the one. Am I right, Z-Berm?
Yeah, and you're at that age where like you're really into Topanga, so.
This is the most personal information we've ever gotten out of you.
If you and Topanga were to
Topanga
go on a honeymoon, where would you go?
Florham Park, New Jersey, to watch.
Let's get whatever Photoshop you guys can put together, listeners. Hashtag BWF Topanga. With Zach and Topanga, let's make those bad boys go viral. Marissa points out, it's another high school girl.
Oh God, don't say that.
I'm sorry, Zach.
You're not gonna get canceled.
Marissa with the zinger in the Zoom chat. Wow.
Yeah. If someone hears that out of context, that is problematic. No, anyways, Boy Meets World, I did watch that show. But yes, Dan Feeney was blocking Javon Hargrave, and he was not doing a particularly good job of it. So I don't know how Hargrave would have done if that was Vera Tucker in there, but I do think Hargrave has consistently been a difference maker this summer. I asked Fletcher Cox after practice what the biggest difference is with Hargrave this summer compared to last summer, and he said he's healthy, right? That was a major factor last year, so... watch out for Hargrave this season.
And I don't like, you know, I did the ranking of the performance of everybody on the Eagles over the course of the summer, you know, based on what their expectations were coming in. And I don't think it's like you can't overstate how dominant Javon Hargrave has been on like a day in and day out basis. He has been like arguably the best player on the entire team. So
yeah,
he's certainly up there. Yeah,
he's been very good. He's been very good. Now, Bo, the I caught part of the one-on-ones early on with the Eagles wide receivers versus the Jets cornerbacks.
Yeah, there were a bunch of mismatches in there. Oh, go ahead.
A bunch of what mismatches?
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Because it looked to me like the Eagles were winning like every single one of those. Was that my? Okay. Well, that's a good sign.
Pretty much.
I mean, the Jets have the worst corners in the NFL, but still.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, Sheila. Like, how bad are the Jets corners supposed to be? Because they really were sort of consistently dusted throughout that period.
From a talent perspective, I would say, like, consensus worst corner group in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was, like, widely expected that they would address this in the offseason, and they did not. And so they have nobody. I mean, it's bless Austin. So now I will say, I will give Robert Saleh credit. I feel like in San Francisco, he did a really good job when they had like guys get injured of getting other players to step up. And I thought it was kind of fun watching him coach those corners pretty hands-on during that drill. So maybe, you know, he's not looking for them. He's not going to be like Matt Patricia saying, who cares who our corners are? Let's play cover one and put them out on an island. Like, he will adjust. I think they'll play, probably play a lot of quarters and have those guys playing zone with two safeties over the top. So I think they will make adjustments and we'll see what he can do. But obviously they lost Carl Lawson up front last week. Their corners are among the worst in the league. So like, he really has his work cut out for him. I thought they could have been, you know, somewhat interesting if Lawson was healthy, with Lawson and Quinnen Williams and CJ Mosley in the front seven. But, you know, no edge rush and no corners is a really tough foundation to start with.
Well, that's good to know, because I thought this was Travis Fulgham's best day in a while, both in one-on-ones and in team drills. But knowing that he was going up against not very good corners helps contextualize that.
I think there's still guys who are on an NFL roster. I'm not trying to like crush them, but
well, yeah, sure. But I mean,
comparatively speaking,
it's not like he was separating either. It was just sort of contested catches. He ran a couple nice routes, but it also explains why like Mark and Michelle was like just toying with people in one-on-ones, and so was Greg Ward. So wow. I don't know what their options are in the slot, but they did not look very good. And Devontae Smith is like uncoverable in one-on-ones, and Quez Watkins had actually Jalen Reagor had a nice deep touchdown during that period as well.
Yeah, Nate Tice on Twitter, if you don't follow Nate Tice, of course, from our The Athletic Football Show, he does a great job with all sorts of stuff, but he was posting some film of the Eagles preseason game of Devontae Smith that I thought was fun to watch, just kind of how much space he creates at like different levels when he's running his route. So the arrow is obviously pointing up. He's going to be a fun guy to watch.
I thought the best analysis I heard today was from a couple of, like, I want to say like 10 or 11 year olds who were behind us in the very beginning of practice watching individual drills. And they were all just going crazy about, look at how skinny number six is. Look at how skinny his legs are. But there was another kid who was like, yeah, he's already the best route runner on the team. Like, that's it. You guys got it. That's
very savvy.
We don't need any more notes. That's exactly correct. So there you guys go.
Those are your practice notes.
They're actually in the practice notes.
Both practice notes are outstanding. And we both had fan reaction to.
Oh, you had a good one.
In our notes.
Oh, what was yours?
Well, during stretching, a fan shouted, give me the Heisman. And I'm assuming he meant like he wanted Devontae Smith to do the Heisman pose, which Devontae Smith did not oblige, but it allowed me to put, did you know that the last Heisman Trophy winner on the Eagles was, do you guys know the answer?
Tim Tebow?
No.
Oh, there's been one since Tim Tebow?
Yes. The quarterback that year who was the quarterback into 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Sanchez? No.
So Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford. Yeah.
Okay. People used to tell me they thought that Sam Bradford looked like me, and I never saw it.
Who said that?
Yeah, no, I would say.
No, people said that especially when he was in college.
No, I would say if Sam Bradford and Chevy Chase had a baby, then like maybe that might look like you.
Okay.
A little bit of a flex there.
I don't think it's a flex. I think I'm a better looking guy than Sam Bradford.
I don't think that's a flex.
Comparing yourself to Sam Bradford?
Yeah. I mean, I think Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford's not like a traditional hunk. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's a fine looking man.
He's no D'Amico Ryans.
I'm not commenting on his looks. I'm just saying, like, leave it to Bo to compare himself to a...
I am liking what Forum Park is bringing out of Zephyr.
No,
crushing ball.
What?
No, we're doing all our pods from this hotel.
Like a starting quarterback? Like you look like a starting
What does that have to do with looks? Just our faces. No one. I'm not saying people were like, you look like you could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Which, I mean, I did lead the county in innings pitched once, so. But
well, so you and Sam Bradford are basically the same.
What else stood out to me today was Jonathan Gannon, his press conference. Could he and Jim Schwartz be any different? It feels like.
Oh man.
I mean, like,
don't you get future head coach vibes just from the press conference?
Well, I don't want to jump to conclusions with that. I'm seeing that around, and maybe like certainly he seems comfortable. I enjoy his chat, but what I just struck me, like, this is sort of, the bizarro Jim Schwartz. Is the bizarro, is that right? Bizarro Jim Schwartz? Anti-Jim Schwartz? What's the, I don't know what the word is, but like Jonathan Gannon came to the press conference podium and goes, "Happy Tuesday." And like Jim Schwartz would slowly walk up to the listen, Jim Schwartz, I, you know, overall underrated tenure as far as I'm concerned. Very good.
And I enjoyed most of the Jim Schwartz experience.
I enjoyed Jim Schwartz, but he would walk up to the podium, not say a word, and then kind of just stare out into the wilderness waiting for a question. And what did Jonathan Gannon say to like end the press conference? Let's have a great day today.
Yeah. Yeah. Right up my alley there. Now, he did do the football move of looking at his watch to see what day of the week it is. The football guy move, right?
Like, you love
before
that.
Before he said Happy Tuesday, he looks at the watch like, oh, what's the day of the week, you know? So
they all blend together.
Yeah. All football coaches, like, they have to be really smart to get their position, but they can never know what day it actually is.
Gannon looks like he's hitting the weights hard, I feel. Like, yeah, I don't know what his work. I would like to know his workout routine.
Maybe that's the kind of thing a national reporter could ask about.
Maybe.
Well, one of his, I was watching a get to know Jonathan Gannon video that the Colts did.
Of course
did,
you were.
As you do,
And one of his activities, he said, is working out.
There you go. Stuff. He might have a nice routine. He might.
What
you
a
know.
Boring activity, though. Like,
I disagree. You
know, not like. Just as like a personality trait, like, what are your favorite hobbies? Working out? Come on. What are we doing?
I think that's fine. You're by yourself. You throw a podcast in and you feel good at the end. I think it's perfectly fine.
In future Jonathan Gannon press conferences, pay attention to he has a move where he's about to answer the question and he takes a drink of water. Okay.
Yes.
He takes a drink of water. Have you noticed this, Bo?
You think that's to formulate a game plan?
It's the think of what he's about to say, but it's like a very like he's really enjoying that sip, right? Like it's a very pronounced sip. So go back and watch.
I have not noticed that.
Yeah, it's not like a subtle sip. It's like I'm really savoring this sip of water, and now I'm gonna get to the answer to the question.
I don't know. That's interesting. I haven't gotten that read from the sip.
Yeah.
Obviously now all I'm gonna watch is the sip.
Yes. Watch
I mean,
sip.
If you're Jonathan Gannon, you're terrified about what Zach has noticed about you before you even coached a game as a defensive coordinator. I mean, if he's here in like year three, who knows what the scouting report's going to be like.
The terrifying part probably came back when he was hired and you guys were asking me where he met his wife, if you recall that. So
that's true.
Yes.
And so you had an answer
to this by now.
I did not go there in the podcast. So.
Okay.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay. What didn't you say? Oh no, the Gannon thing is the other thing that stood out to you, Shield.
Yeah, those were really the extent of my practice notes, to be honest.
Okay. There was a bit of a scary moment during team drills with the Eagles offense when Jalen Hurts hit Quez Watkins down the field. It was actually probably supposed to be a sack, but Hurts was rolling left and launched it deep and Watkins went up and made like a really nice catch, rose up for it, but then fell on his back, sort of in a way reminiscent of what Tyree Jackson did the other week, in which he hurt his back and Quez was lying on the ground. And then like weirdly, Jalen Hurts and a couple of the other receivers just dragged him off the field. Like Jalen Hurts took his leg and somebody else took his shoulder, and then they just dragged him off the field so that they could continue the drill with the second team, which to me I just read as Quez must have said, like, I'm okay, just get me off the field. And then he ended up going in to get looked at and then came back and finished practice. So it turns out that he was fine.
But I mean, maybe
a momentary scare.
Yeah.
He did come back and play, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What were you gonna say?
I'm kind of enjoying the Jalen Hurts personality a little bit more as he.
Me too.
I wouldn't say, I don't know if opens up is definitely not the right word, but
but I think he's a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, like he laughs at stuff. I do think there's an authenticity about him. I do think I can see how if you were his teammate, you would really like him. You know, like he's not showing us the.
Right,
the full Jalen Hurts experience, yeah. But I don't think he's a phony. He seems to like understand leadership, being a teammate. I don't think it's like a work hard to work hard type deal. I thought it was really funny. The Jalen, why don't you tell the Jalen Rager quote? That was your question, right, Bo?
Sure. Yeah, I asked Jalen.
I mean,
Rager.
I can do it if you want.
Yeah, go for it. You tell it. Okay. You're the national man.
Well, Rager was just talking about Hurts, and they were sitting on. He said, "Well, we were sitting on the bus today," and he just go, and Hurts just looked at him and goes, "I'm in that mode." And someone was like, "What mode?" And Rager's like, "I don't know." Then he just put his headphones on, and someone asked Hurts about it, and he just started laughing. It was like, "I was just excited for practice." So I don't know if that really translates with like me retelling it here, but I did think it was kind of just a funny moment between.
I read it as teammates. I thought it was like Rager was trying to talk to him or something like that, and Hurts was like, "No, like I'm in that mode right now."
Oh, see, I read it as like
you read.
He went up to the receivers. Yeah, I think he went up to the receivers and told them, "He's like, I'm in the mode." And
oh, interesting.
As if like get ready for practice. I'm coming. So
yeah, yeah. I thought it was Rager's like, all right, I'm on a bus going to practice, and Hurts is treating it, like it's something more than that. Like, let's get ready to, pick these guys apart type deal. I don't know. We're really, I guess, reading a lot into
it. So it sounds to me like let's just zoom out a little bit. We started with you comparing this defensive line to the 85 Bears. Now you're talking about how smitten you are with Jalen Hurts. It sounds to me like you're expecting the Eagles to maybe go like 15-2 this year, Sheila. You've totally turned around.
First of all, you just agreed with what I had said, where I'm just enjoying his personality.
Yeah, but I'm already the high man on the season so far. It sounds like you're trying.
I don't want that. I don't want that crown. I don't want to stand on that mountain with you. Again, I'm really struggling. Again, I'm out of words. We've already spoken more today than we probably need to. I am doing a piece for The Athletic with my 10 favorite bets for this year. That'll come out on Thursday on The Athletic.
I thought it was supposed to come out on Wednesday.
Yeah, I did too. There was a little bit of a change, so now it'll come out on Thursday. And so when I do that, the first thing I do is I just go through the entire sheet and write down every bet that could even be considered.
Okay,
goes on there. And so an Eagles one did not make the final 10,
but
they're what, +500 to win the NFC East? I mean, if I watch two
pretty
more
good odds.
If I watch two more episodes of Hard Knocks. I could be having them, easily winning the division.
I think 500 is a good bet.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So what would it take? How many wins do you think it would take to win the division?
10.
Zach, do you agree with that?
In a 17 game season, yes.
I think 9 would not be crazy. It wouldn't shock me.
No. Yeah. I think 9 could. Yeah. Okay. I think 8 could.
All right, so 9 or 10 wins. They have what, the third easiest schedule if you go by BetMGM's projected win totals.
Yeah, I mean you're betting more against the rest of the division than you are,
of course,
betting on the Eagles.
Yeah, any other division, we would not even be having this conversation.
Correct.
Aside from maybe the no, I think that's right. I think any other division, we would not be having this conversation.
Yeah, maybe. You could talk yourself into the AFC South, maybe?
That's what I was going to say, but yeah. I think the Titans are,
I think so too.
the Titans could have a top five, top ten offense. I don't think so. So, you know, the numbers I put out earlier this week were even last year with everything that was going wrong the entire season, when Jalen Hurts was in there, they basically performed like the 21st ranked offense if you look at EPA per play. So I don't know if you look at that and say, well, the coaching should be a little bit better this year. The supporting cast should be a little bit better this year. Maybe Hurts will be a little bit better this year. Like, could you talk yourself into – what do you think the ceiling is for this offense? Let's answer that question. Where everything goes right for this offense this year, what do you think their ceiling is?
I think they could be like the absolute ceiling. I think they could be like 10th in offensive DVOA, something like
Zach?
That. I mean, if the offensive line stays, I mean, it's silly because every like big picture conversation starts with if the offensive and defensive lines stay healthy, you know, they could be good. But if the offensive line stays healthy with all of their 30-year-olds, I think they should have a top five running game if that's the case.
Ooh, top right? five.
If the offensive line stays healthy and you have the threat of Jalen Hurts running the ball, I think they should have a top five running game. Don't you?
I mean, I think that's possible. I don't know if I would go as far as should.
That's fair.
I would say they should have a top 10.
Okay. And they could have a top three running game or something like that.
Yeah.
It's possible.
They could.
And then you just need like the offense, the passing game to hold serve and Hurts to protect the football. I think that's not crazy.
Zach?
I look at it as a wide variance offense, right? Because yeah. I agree. It's a high ceiling. But it's also a very low floor. Like, things could go really well.
Yes, it could easily be a bottom five offense.
Yes, things could go really well, but they could also be, like, really struggling passing the ball. There's a chance, even if they're healthy, where, you know, teams load up and force Hurts to beat them through the air, and the wide receivers, other than Devontae Smith, don't get much separation, right? Let's say they trade Zach Ertz before the season. I mean, there are things that could happen that could make this a bad offense, but I do agree that the ceiling's there because the quarterback is interesting in terms of the way he can run the ball. They have more weapons than they've had in the past. I think Devontae Smith is going to be legitimately good if they keep Ertz. That Ertz and Goddard combination is I've been impressed with the way Ertz is playing this summer. And I think they're going to throw the ball to the running backs quite a bit. So they have a lot of options. This is not the bog offense, right? Like this has explosive ability, especially when you look at what Hurts can do on the ground. So I think the ceiling is probably, let's say eight, just to give like a non-round number. But then the basement,
quartile, that's fair.
Like the basement's like 28, right? So like anywhere from 8 to 28.
Yeah, I think I had when I ranked the offenses, I think I had them as a bottom five offense. So let's put this in proper context, because there are a lot of good offenses and there are a lot of like offenses that you're comfortable, that you think they're going to be competent. I don't see their ceiling as high as you guys, I think. I mean, I would put it probably more, I mean, just a little bit lower. I think probably like the 12, 13 range feels like... Okay. You know, that obviously there's like that 1% chance that, you know, Hurts turns into Russell Wilson and they are better than that. But I think realistically.
Well, I think. Go ahead.
I would put it in the 12 to 13. I do think the formula would be run game being outstanding, which, by the way, you know, if you haven't checked out the playbook, of course, theathletic.com/NFL playbook. True Media has a stat that I like where I think they call it success rate, where basically. Was this a positive play in terms of EPA? And so I like looking at that with the run game because it's like a consistency thing. It's, you know, if you have a 98-yard run, like you're not getting, you know, overweighted credit for that. And like Jalen Hurts as a runner last year was very underrated. I mean, he was like in that range with the top, with the Lamar Jacksons and the Kyler Murrays, and actually Josh Allen was in that mix as well. As just when they ran the ball, the chances of a good thing happening were like higher than any other player in the NFL. So I do think there's a high ceiling, as we were just talking about, with their run game. The fumble thing is a huge issue, though. I mean, he had, I think, 9 fumbles and he played 30% of the snaps. So we're probably glossing over that a little bit too quickly. Now, I think 2 of those were bad Jason Kelce snaps. I went back and watched them, but that's still 7 fumbles, 30% of the snaps. I mean, you're talking about a guy who would by far lead the league if you extrapolate that mm-hmm. over the course of an entire season. So I'm always sort of conflicted about how fixable that is, specifically for a quarterback. It doesn't seem very often, as we just saw with the last guy who played quarterback here, that is something that gets remedied. But you know, who knows? Maybe if you just cut that down a little bit and, you know, you're kind of fifth in fumbles rather than overwhelmingly first, maybe that's something you can live with. Russell Wilson fumbles a lot, not to keep bringing it back to him. Bo, how have you not made a comment yet?
I almost forget about the Russell Wilson thing. It's like season one Birds with Friends.
True.
The thing with the offense, though, that must be taken into account, and you mentioned Lamar Jackson, right? Like the Ravens hired Greg Roman that year, a coach who has experience designing an offense for a mobile quarterback. Now the Eagles offensive coordinator and their head coach who's calling the plays, they are hailed as really good offensive minds, and we'll see how it bears out. But their track record does not show an offense with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Shane Steichen has worked almost exclusively with Phillip Rivers up until last year when he had, a game with Tyrod Taylor before he went to Herbert. And Herbert's mobile, but that wasn't necessarily the way they used him. And then with the Colts, Nick Sirianni had a year of Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck has a good mobility. But like if you're talking about the ceiling for this offense with the way Jalen Hurts can play, this coaching staff hasn't necessarily called games for that type of quarterback before. So I think that's the variable here that is really hard to predict, is how are they going to call games this year?
Yeah, well, we talked about it. Like, you know, we malign the Joe Flacco signing so much, but like obviously the signing of Joe Flacco is an indication that they were not ready to like completely remake the offense in the Lamar Jackson mold or just be building around Jalen Hurts as a runner being the focal point of the offense. That otherwise that would not have made sense. But we've seen a little bit of it throughout camp, and I think it's going to be certainly a part of the offense. But you're right, it has not been this staff's MO necessarily.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been the right move, but it would have made this season really interesting if he hired like an offensive coordinator from college who was just like a wizard with dual threat QBs, and they're just mm-hmm. like we're leaning completely into this and let's see what happens. But I don't think they should have done that. Again, I the likely outcome there of that working out is low, but that would have made for an interesting 2021.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I guess we should save the Zach Wilson discussion for tomorrow. We can get to that then.
Yeah,
I'd like to get some eyes on.
We can save plenty for tomorrow.
I haven't really watched him over this practice. So, Zach, how's your hotel room?
It's nice. It's nice. Yeah, no issue. Oh well, it's a nice hotel room. No.
What's the
nothing I'm gonna complain about.
What's the well?
I will let Shiel address that because I said before we came on air, I mentioned something and then Shiel's like, save it for the pod, but it wasn't something I was prepared to talk about on the mm-hmm. podcast.
Well, it's the slowest flush and the least powerful flush I've ever seen. I mean,
interesting.
You haven't gone to the bathroom yet?
I have, but I haven't noticed the flush. It hasn't stuck out to me. I thought it was a very good shower that I took.
Yeah, the shower pressure is good, and it's a rain shower head?
Oh, yeah, it's a big old square
of a
rain shower head. Yeah.
That's outstanding. So that's very good. The shower pressure is good. The toilet, yeah, like, I mean, even if you're just, going tinkle and you go to flush, I mean, it's kind of like what would happen if at your house, like, seven people came over and tried to flush. Right. Yeah. And you're like, all right, where's the plunger? All right. Well, should we? Yeah. One of those, like that happens every single time you flush. Like I was literally staring at it going,
I like that you've had to flush like 10 times today.
Oh, I got to say, I got to hydrate. Yeah, okay. No, you need to.
But you don't want to be the guy who calls down at the front desk, right?
Exactly.
Because that's always an embarrassing interaction, right? I say always as if I have a lot of experience with it. I imagine that's an embarrassing interaction.
Would imagine.
Yeah, when someone comes up to your room and you're like, can you fix
I'm
the
so
toilet
sorry.
For me?
Oh, yes, gosh. Exactly. Yeah, no, you have to do that when you're going. If you have to do that, you got to do it when you're leaving. I mean, you can't be in the room or you got to really try.
Or if you're there for an extended period of time.
That's true. All right, that's true. All right, so everyone beware. Let's try to everybody avoid that.
Okay.
All right.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
All right. Is there anything else from practice or post-practice that we should discuss?
I would say the ball was on the ground for the Jets, not in terms of incompletions. I thought Zach Wilson was pretty efficient as a passer, but in terms of like fumbling, you know, there was a strip at another point in practice on a running play. I believe it was Ty Johnson, and Jonathan Gannon has been outspoken about like the way they teach stripping the ball. And it did stand out. The Eagles offensive players have become conditioned to the defensive players going for strips after the whistle because they're working on the technique. I don't know if the Jets players were like ready for that, because after the whistle, you would see Bo's boy Elijah Riley come in and try to yank that ball
Hell
away.
Yeah.
Right. But this one I'm talking about was a strip before the whistle. And then there were, the strip sack, and I put sack in quotations, like Shiel mentioned, you don't usually see fumbles in practice as much. So something to watch out for with the Eagles this year, because it is a major point of emphasis from Jonathan Gannon. A matter of fact, he said today that the first guy who gets to the ball is not always taught to make the tackle. He's taught to hold up like the player for someone else to come in to try to make the strip. So watch out for that this season.
And then Darius Slay said that's not true.
Yeah, exactly. Darius Slay said that. That's not how I approach it. I try to get both. I try to get the tackle and the strip.
Yes.
Like, it sounded like it was very situation dependent, whatever the teaching point
yes.
is.
Well, last thing I will say on this topic is when I was in Indianapolis and I was interviewing Flex, Matt Eberflus, their defensive coordinator, who, of course, Jonathan Gannon coached under, who Eberflus, I guess, is the originator of this HITS principle.
Mm.
Has Gannon talked?
He talks about it quite a bit. And it would bother Bo because, like, the acronym, it doesn't all work, right, in terms of the same part of speech. Am I correct?
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm Marissa has just sent us something that is very funny.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Oh my god.
Hopefully she can post that when the episode goes live. Yeah, it's not. Well, it's not quite as egregious as the one in the practice facility. What is that one?
So it's hustle, intensity, takeaways, smart. Right? So
smart situational football, according to Eberflus. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
I hate that.
So Gannon just made it smart. So smart is an adjective. And then, you have different, forms of grammar there, but not as much. It's not as offensive as the...
It should just be smarts, and then it would be fine.
Smarts. Okay. So you should tell them that. But you were really upset at the five core principles of Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, it's terrible. What are they?
I will pull it up.
The non-parallelism of the parts of speech of those five things is just totally maddening.
It is okay. Here you go. It is connect, compete, accountability, football IQ, and fundamentals.
I mean, what are we doing? There's an equally frustrating billboard on 95. I don't know if you guys have seen it, and it's like the first thing is like. Make a list of five things, and then the list is only four things.
All right, let's end it. No, I haven't
heard about this.
Definitely have not heard about it. I can tell you that.
No, drives me nuts.
Okay, we'll take a picture next time. Post it to Instagram, of course, to follow me on Instagram. At Shilkapai. You know, I had a longer point, I'm going to save that on the Eberflus Gannon thing. We can discuss that during. We're doing another podcast.
We're
tomorrow,
trying to get
so
to
let's
dinner.
Do that.
The Eagles did, the offense did successfully convert a 2-minute drill against the Jets defense in that final compete period, which was, they had, it ended up being like first and goal from the seven, or first and 10 from the 17 with 16 seconds left. And on the first play, well, not the first play, but on that play, there was a pass interference on Dallas Goedert in the end zone, which was obvious. And then from the 1-yard line, Hurts hit Jalen Reagor on a little sprint out, easy sort of 1-yard touchdown pass. And I think it's fair to say that the Eagles won this day. If you guys were saying the D-line dominated, that it's fair to say the Eagles were the better team today.
Correct.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. You like Asala?
I don't know him.
We'll save you here. Okay, I'll write down Salah for tomorrow.
Salah, handsome question mark. Save that for 100, tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%.
Very handsome.
Yeah, handsome guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I like his presence in press conferences, right?
How problematic would it be for me to rank the 32 head coaches in terms of attractiveness?
I think it would be
That would be a problem, yeah.
Okay.
It would be problematic. How problematic? I mean... Is the scale of like get fired
on
to
a
never
scale of
work
Feeny
in journalism
to
again, or what's the? I don't. I mean, we can. Why don't we come up with a scale and we can answer that for you tomorrow?
By the way, Topanga wasn't like. I don't want to like disparage Topanga, but like there were. God. You know,
she
when you're like
careful, Zach.
Yeah, when you're 13 years old, there's all these. I don't know. It's not worth getting into.
Things are happening.
Wait. So who is the
part of life?
Who is the Rushmore? Who is the Rushmore of your adolescence?
There were quite a few.
Flex.
I thought that there was a guy in line at the hotel. I'll end with this. I'll say this hotel. So the guy was a little too horny for my liking. Where they're asking him, what does he want, two queens or a king? And he says, the only time I need a king is if I'm getting action. Dude, why are you telling the front desk people this? everybody in this hotel, chill the free, and go take a cold shower and calm down. All right.
I don't want to answer the question to avoid a drop. That's the
you
thing.
Think it over. You think it over tonight. And
no,
you,
I mean,
you come prepared with your top
I
four.
I have the answer. I just don't think it's podcast concerned.
Oh, give us one more from the answer.
Jennifer Love Hewitt would be high on that.
Oh, okay. Traditional. Good. I would say a popular answer from that time period.
If I see that guy in the lobby, I'll ask him his thoughts on it.
That'll be good.
Topanga and Jennifer Love Hewitt, and then I'll run for the hills.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the second of the two joint practices, and then we will be back on Thursday night following, or Friday night, rather, following the preseason game between the Eagles and Jets. For Sheil and Marissa and the man who wishes he was Sean, I'm Bo, and as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.